As I said, our next guest is between the veritable rock and hard place for a whole bunch of different reasons. Regardless of what he's doing, he's going to be pissing off a whole bunch of people one way or the other. If he follows what the city council is going to order him to do, then he will be uniquely liable for any harm done by the people that it releases not into the possession of ICE. If he does what the city council wants him to do, he might also be violating a state law we'll get into. If he doesn't do what the city council wants him to do, then he's probably is going to be sued by the city council and end up in court and have to defend himself there. And so I'm kind of glad that it's him instead of me. But and if that weren't enough, then he's got an election that he's got to win next year, too, if he wants to keep his job as sheriff of Davidson County, a job I don't know why anybody would want right now. But Sheriff Hall, good morning and welcome to Nashville Morning News.
Well, that makes me feel great. Everything you just said, Ralph, I'm so happy to be awake.
Well, good. Can I start with a real basic question of what the heck is a voluntary attainment request?
Yeah, so, legally, and again, I'm not a lawyer, but legally, I believe it's been determined that when the federal government or ICE submits a detainer, we call it detainer, that's a voluntary detainer, what that basically means is cities and other organizations have to decide whether you want to cooperate with ICE. And so voluntary is a word. The reality of it is some places don't have the jail beds, the space, the anything to handle some of those very small counties. And so therefore it's not a mandate by the federal government. It's basically asking you to work with them to enforce immigration law. So,
but it's more than just informing them of court dates and release dates, right? You're going to need to hold them for a little while for them, or have some kind of an arrangement where you hold them longer for them until they attend a deportation court date, right?
Right, and one of the things I think that's been lost lately is, it's tough on immigration. They don't have the workforce that most people would think around the country, even in a city like Nashville.
And they don't have their own jail space, right?
Right. They don't have the resources, both staff and manpower, to do the investigation, and they surely don't have the jail space to hold them. So it's very natural and normal for the local jurisdiction to work with ICE and both holding them until they can interview them. I think it's 48 hours is a legal requirement. You can. And then they basically tell you, here's a legitimate warrant to hold the person or not. And if it's not, then you release them. If there is one, then you maintain them.
Don't you have similar arrangements with other police agencies, FBI and other police and sheriffs, et cetera, both in Tennessee and other states, perhaps?
Yeah, sure. And the laws are a little different because it's criminal, our local and state and criminal law stuff. But yes, we turn people over all the time, all day long, to other jurisdictions, and we cooperate. As you can imagine, you would want us to do that. And I've been in this job or in this agency for 30 years, and we've cooperated for 30 years. There's nothing new. People want to make it some new phenomena. It's not. We have always cooperated in this way. And
so they're asking you not to cooperate with ICE in the same way that you do cooperate and always have with all other law enforcement agencies, and without anybody complaining about that.
Right. One of the things that people don't think about, we hold people say, well, it's a civil violation. Well, that's not quite true. It's a civil violation of law if you come over the border the first time. If you're ever removed from the country and come back, it's a federal criminal law. And so people like to say it's civil. Well, there's only a few that would be civil. And we still incarcerate, house people on civil law violations, and we turn civil law violators over to other jurisdictions. Child support's a big one, where we would turn that person over to Kentucky or another county or anywhere else if they were wanted for failure to pay child support, which is a civil law. Civil violation.
How many people a year average do you turn over to ICE, and how many would you turn over to ICE if you were to follow this ordinance as written?
Yeah, that's a very good question, Ralph. One thing that the media and so forth hadn't really reported very well is, because of the priorities of who they want to remove, the numbers aren't very high. We turned over 562 people last year, or basically 1% of the arrest. So therefore, you should expect that those 1% are a pretty high priority on the immigration to remove. This actual ordinance from the city of Nashville would stop me from removing anybody. And so really what we see it as is it's an all or nothing deal. If the thing were to pass, and if I were to follow it, not one person, whether it's you know, very, very serious violations of criminal law or multiple violations of immigration law, it basically would eliminate all of them being held, and therefore they'd be turned back over into the streets.
What triggers that voluntary attainment request? How does ICE learn that you have them and might be able to hold them for them?
Another thing that's not very well reported, Ralph, you know, the technologies over the years have improved dramatically, but it was actually the Obama administration who initiated a program called Secure Communities. What that basically means is when I am fingerprinted in a booking room for my crime, those fingerprints via President Obama transfer directly to immigration via its technology biometrics. So what happens is those prints are now tested against the immigration system's information system by fingerprint. So it now knows Darren Hall is in jail in Nashville, Tennessee. The immigration authorities then turn right around and can pull that up in their system and says he's been over the border twice. Hold him for me in Nashville. It's very simple the way it works, and it was created, like I said, by the Obama administration. It notifies immigration immediately upon every arrestee, and the fingerprints are pretty clear. It's not
Do you get a voluntary attainment request for all of the illegal immigrants in your jail or those that are suspected to be illegal immigrants in your jail or only a certain percentage of those?
Yes, good question. It's only a certain percentage, and it's usually or has been historically the high priorities that they really want to remove. It is a budget issue. Congress would have to pass a significant increase in finances to allow ICE to detain more people, and that's been talked about, but it's just talk because right now because it would take a ton of money for them to hold more and more and more people around the country. If they decide to do that, obviously our percentages would go up. But you and I should assume the percentages that they're asking me to hold now are significant and serious violators. If not, they wouldn't be asking me to do it because it's a high priority for them.
Has the Trump administration, ICE, asked you to hold more people, either proportionally or otherwise, than the Obama administration did?
Absolutely not. In Nashville, Tennessee, the percentage, and I'm not speaking for the political side, but the percentage of people, you know, that I am removing or turning over, I'm not removing, I'm turning them over to them, is the same exact percentage as been over the last 12 months and really even before that. And because, quite frankly, Ralph, they don't have the money yet to do any of that. And if they fund it, then the ICE local folks, because that's who's going to have to pay us to house people and so forth. So that number hasn't moved at all. You know, locally in our jurisdiction. And, you know, all the talk about doing that is still out there. And again, if they fund it, then the discussions could be, you know, to lower the priority or whatever. But right now, our numbers are what they were a year ago and even before that.
And finally, or maybe not finally, but if I still, do you have an opinion on whether by obeying the city ordinance that is expected to pass on third reading on July 6th, you would, in fact, be violating the state law that already exists or not?
You know, to be honest, I haven't really even taken that position. Mine is a little broader than that. I'm a constitutional officer by the state of Tennessee, and I don't believe the local legislative body should or could direct me via policy, you know, on how to do my job. If so, there are 94 other sheriffs in Tennessee and over 3,000 in the country that would be at risk. And so that's kind of my broad feeling about it. I know exactly which bill you're talking about, but I really think it's even broader than that. I don't think the legislature, as a sheriff anyway, I don't think the legislature at the state even should have had to pass that. If you believe the way I do that the state created these positions in our Constitution, and really we shouldn't. My oath is to the state of Tennessee. My oath is not to my county.
But you do have an opinion on whether you have to follow the city ordinance and why, and you've done a very good job of explaining that. I've just wondered if you had also tried to research whether you would, in fact, if you decided you wanted to follow the city ordinance, whether you would be violating the state ordinance and could get yourself in trouble that way.
You know, I think you said as you were bringing me on the air that it looks like I'm in trouble, you know, in trouble either way.
Oh, you are. Yes, you are. and politically, regardless of what happened, you're in trouble from one side or the other. So, but I'm receiving email support for you, and I'll be happy to forward that to you if you have a public email address that you don't mind people using. But if not, I'll just get it to your communications director.
Well, it's kind of ironic. I think the last time I was on here, I was being criticized for not going and meeting with the president over immigration. And one of the things that I just think is important is exactly what we're going through here. You know, whether people understand this or not, I mean, I'm required, I believe, to enforce the law, and I really don't get to choose which ones I like or dislike, and mm-hmm. I don't like legislative bodies deciding which one they want me to follow or not. And so it's not going to be a popular job at times for different reasons. And in this situation, I think I'm first trying to protect the community by the enforcement of law, but also to be reasonable about it. I mean, one of the things that's lost is basically this would be throwing out everybody, releasing everybody into the streets of Nashville, and I would be liable.
So you'd have to release all those 562 people, basically. You'd have to release them all. All 562 people, and these are people who are potentially dangerous, violent people, all of them, correct?
Right. That's who the immigration authorities have prioritized as the most significant people. And again, keep in mind,
and it's certainly not unheard of that one of those 562 people might do serious harm to another person who would then hold you legally liable for that. Would they not?
Absolutely. Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah. There's just not a real good way out of that. Yeah. And so I choose to lean on the oath that I took and to enforce the laws that are on the books. And if the advocates want to change the law, go to Washington and change the immigration law. I mean, that's really what all this is about. It's on the books, and I believe we should enforce it.
Sheriff, thank you so much. We've gone way over time, but that's okay because there's very few things right now that's more important, and certainly not to you. You are right in the – even if you chose not to be, if you had no opinion at all, you'd be right in the middle of it. So we appreciate the stand that you're taking and the reason that you're taking it. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you, Ralph. Have a good weekend.
You too. Bye-bye.